Did the one practice, crushed it, and have been running ever since 20 years later.
You're the most decorated racquetball player in U.S. history. World's strongest man. From childhood passion to professional athlete. Eight-time Ironman champion. So what was it like making your debut in the NHL? What is your biggest piece of advice for the next generation of athletes? From underdogs to national champions, this is the Athletes Podcast, where high-performance individuals share their triumphs, defeats, and life lessons to educate, entertain, and inspire the next generation of athletes. Here we go.
You just made the best decision of your life. This is episode 219 of the Athletes Podcast, and today we feature Mariam Abdul-Rashid. She's a Canadian hurdler who just came back from Glasgow, met me down in Miami, and we were able to have an amazing conversation. Earlier this year, she ran a personal best of 8.01 seconds on the 60-meter hurdles. Recently, putting up a 7.99 twice in Glasgow at the 2024 World Athletics Indoor Championships. And we were able to top it up afterwards. Some of the highs, some of the lows of what Mariam's experienced over her years, both as a undergraduate student who received her bachelor's degree in liberal arts and sciences from the University of Texas, as well as a master's degree in communication and media studies from the University of East London. As you folks know, this woman is incredible. That's why we brought her on the show. That's why she's doing the talking. That's why we also are working with her at Cook Stark Management. Our goal is to provide female athletes the same opportunities that us men have been provided for decades. 15% of media coverage is now on women's sports. You simply clicking on this episode has supported women's sports even further. And for that, I thank you for tuning into this episode. Mariam is an incredible human being. I'm super excited for you folks to listen to this episode. She also wanted me to mention the name Angela White as another Canadian hurdler legend. She dropped a couple during this episode, but she wanted to make sure that she highlighted that. The other thing I want to highlight is the fact that this episode is brought to you by Perfect Sports. They make the best supplements on the market. They also have dropped a new supplement. It's called Hydro Splash. Athletes, if you are trying to stay hydrated and make sure that your electrolyte levels are as primed as possible, then you should be taking Hydro Splash. I take it every single day. Hydro Splash, one of the best supplements out there right now. Every single morning I'm taking this. It's the only way to make sure that you're getting your minerals, aminos, vitamins, coconut water, caffeine-free, non-GMO. It's got everything that you need. And folks, I want to give one of these packages away to one YouTube watcher. One YouTube watcher, one YouTube listener, one YouTube subscriber, whatever it's called. Folks, here's the test. Here's the homework. If you clicked on this episode, and if you leave a comment, you're entered to win. It's that easy. I want to make sure that you're staying hydrated. So if you're watching on Spotify, Apple, wherever else you're listening to the podcast, do me a favor, head on over to YouTube, drop a comment, and then that way you're entered to win your very own Hydro Splash. That's it. Let's get to the episode featuring Mariam Abdul-Rashid. Thank you folks for tuning in again. I hope you're having a great day. Here we go.
Mariam.
Yes.
Abdul-Rashid.
Period.
Welcome to the Athletes Podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on. Well overdue. First time we've actually formally met in person.
Yeah, and we're in Miami to like meet. That's pretty cool.
So nice.
Yeah.
How I don't think there's any better way to wake up in the morning than with incredibly hot air.
Yeah, palm trees, right? And sun. Yeah.
Ah, so nice.
What did Toronto get, like 30 hours of sun this winter?
I was just in Vancouver. It's ugly.
Yeah.
Canada's ugly.
It's sad.
You need vitamin D.
Badly.
It's important.
Badly. You might not be mentally ill. You might just need some sun.
Yes. I grew up and I was like, I didn't think I was like maybe depressed, but it's like there's seasonal depression.
No. Bad. For yeah. Sure. Yeah.
It's not talked about enough. Let's talk about you today though.
Okay.
And more specifically, I'm going to just fire off a couple quick questions just so that people learn a bit more about you, because you're a pretty incredible human being.
Thank you.
Originally introduced by Danielle Chow Leong.
He's also an incredible human being. She we is. Love her.
We love her a lot, actually. She's incredible. And you just gave me the most insane 60-second bio of your upbringing. Where do you want to start? Because you started on a farm, Oshawa,
yeah.
Track and field,
yeah.
2 degrees, no big deal. You're the expert in communications. I'm going to let you do the talking because clearly I can't today. First question, is the 1997 birth year the best in athletes history?
Best in athlete history? I hope so.
Right?
I think it is. I'm making a case for it. McDavid, you, me. I think we're there.
I think so.
I don't know. Do you not see 97s dominating at every level wherever they are?
Honestly, yeah.
Thank you. I've had enough of them on that I'm going to make a case that in the 97 year, there was something in the water that we were drinking. Maybe it was on your farm, too.
Might have been on my farm. Might have got all the way to Rosneath.
Rosneath?
Yeah, like right by Rice Lake.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so honestly, it wasn't super long in like farm years because it takes a long... Not that I first off the bat know farm years, but like I guess if you're trying to like build something big on a lot of land, it takes years to develop. You need the money to like buy all the animals and all that stuff.
Are they decades? Are they like, are we talking cat, dog years, 7, 8? What's the range? You got to give me something for farm years.
Yeah, this is human years, but like you need to like really know what you're doing, okay. I guess.
So decades? They're probably decade. Talking in decades.
I would say, yeah, human decades.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
I feel like we planned to stay longer, but it just didn't work out that way. But I'll tell you why. So, yeah, my family moved to Rosneath right by Rice Lake. We had like an 11-acre farm, and my family's super athletic. Like we've had Olympic runners in my family, my uncle Lennox, my great uncle, my dad's brother. So not my great uncle, just like regular uncle.
Why am I wearing this? Goddamn ninth best hurdler in the world.
And you're wearing a lanyard and like a college freshman.
Maybe college was bad for both of us. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to... Goddamn.
In case anyone forgot who you were, you needed your name tag. Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my bad. I should have...
I kind of told you
yeah.
A little bit.
You were setting up and I should have like noticed.
It's okay. It's going to start. It's going to make it in at some point. People are like, why the hell is that guy wearing a lanyard? Continue.
Yes. Okay. So moved to the farm. We got 11 acres. Long story short, lots of room for running around, just like being a kid.
Okay.
And all three of my siblings are like high energy, very athletic. So we're all running around. But my parents noticed that like, okay, she's not just running around, but she's like kind of fast. And like, there's like some form here that you don't just like have unless this running might be your thing. So we only got as far as like having a dog, a black lab who's crazy too, like us, and chickens and stuff, but all of us were in sports and the closest place to go do those sports was Oshawa. So after 5 years, we're like, we cannot keep driving like back and forth to drive all these kids to football practice, gymnastics, like track and field. It's too much. Y'all are doing way too much. So eventually we packed up, moved to Oshawa, and I showed up to Durham Legion Athletics track practice with a woman named Sharon Warmke, and my dad was like, come on, like, can you let her join the team? And she looked at me and she was like, because I was 6 years old, and she's like, she's too young, she's too little, I don't want to babysit, come back in 2 years basically. And my dad was like, give her one practice and then decide. Did the one practice, crushed it, and have been running ever since 20 years later.
Okay, so many questions.
Yeah.
How do you get into hurdles specifically?
Yeah, so again, since we were a sports family, like we had all that kind of stuff on TV.
Okay.
And I distinctly remember in my first home in Rosneath, my parents built that house, and lucky for me, they built like a super long hallway, or at least it felt super long when you're small.
Mm-hmm.
But long enough to start from the very end, put things in my way and jump over them. So I was trying to be Perdita Felician.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw her and I was like, that's sick.
Damn.
That's what I want to do.
Setting up.
And then we had like a million other great hurdlers after her and in the same time as her, with like Priscilla Loeb Sleep and then Felicia George, Nikita Holder, Jessica Zelenka. There was like a million. So I was like, I'm just going to go be one of them.
It's insane how hard they are. People don't realize how easy you make it look when they're watching on TV.
Yeah.
That is something that I've noticed.
Yeah. And people come up to me all the time and they're like, oh, I could never do that. And I tell them, as long as you're not scared, you can learn how to hurdle. Like, the fear is the biggest part.
Okay.
Like, I feel like I could teach you how to hurdle and, like, just, like, give me, like, 2 hours. You just keep going over. It won't be as pretty as like the pros, but that I'm still trying to make it as pretty as the pros. So that part takes some time, but just getting over it. You just gotta get the fear out of your head.
I feel like I'd have an advantage. I got long legs.
Yeah, you got long legs. Yeah, especially for the men's, who goes up to like here on me, 42 inches. Yeah, you can't even be a men's hurdler unless you're tall.
Yeah, what are the, is there like prerequisites typically that they put in place?
No, so, but the men, since they go up so high,
you just
all the guys in it end up being tall, unless you're just like really powerful and can like push yourself over. The girls is kind of fun because it all ranges. We have girls that are like 5'1". Mm-hmm. We have girls that are like 5'11", like pushing 6 feet. Mm-hmm. And the short girls can get out of the blocks better and run in between the hurdles faster and just more effortlessly. Mm-hmm. But the tall girls can get over the barriers easier. Like they're stepping over them and we're like pushing over them, but then we can run in between. So it's kind of, it balances itself out.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. You don't see that often in sports where there's like very different athletes.
Yeah.
Who get the same or similar results. Sarah Mitten, same kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like she's small for a thrower.
Right?
Yeah.
Still putting up records.
Yeah.
Like Canada was showing this past weekend in Glasgow. Yeah. I was so sad I couldn't make it.
I know. Next time.
I was trying. I was trying. I was doing my best. We got some things in the works I got to tell you about after this. We'll make some stuff happen.
Yeah.
We got you some perfect sports. We're going to get all that fun stuff going.
But did you also know, folks, that water is critical to health and vitality? Sadly, few of us drink enough of it. Let's face it, as good as it is, water just sometimes isn't that exciting. This is where Hydro Splash Dual Hydration comes in. It's a smarter way to hydrate. Just add a scoop of Hydro Splash to level up your water. It comes in 3 delicious flavors and blends effortlessly, creating a silky smooth drinking experience. Its pH buffering ensures a refreshing taste, elevating your hydration with every sip. Hydro Splash Dual Hydration is the all-new hydration drink mix that satisfies your thirst with delightful flavors while ensuring complete hydration. Optimal hydration impacts your skin's appearance and boosts energy levels all day. Hydro Splash is third-party tested for WADA banned substances, featuring the official Informed Choice certification logo. Now, imagine feeling fully hydrated while you are getting 4 essential vitamins, 3 amino acids, all with concentrated coconut water, banana, and apple, and with 0 grams of sugar and only 10 calories. Hydro Splash is the smart way to ditch those sugary sodas and sports drinks. Whether you're training hard, engaged in sports, seeking rehydration, recovery, or simply looking for an alternative to water, Hydro Splash is a smarter way to hydrate. It's better than water. It's perfect sports. Be great. Back to the episode.
I want to talk about a couple things. First off, Canadian record at Boston University. You want to talk about that?
I wish it was a Canadian record.
Was it not?
Like I said, Perdita was flying back then. So she heard the Canadian record is 72 over the 60 hurdles.
Was the graphic wrong there?
The graphic wasn't wrong. It was a meet record.
Oh.
So that's the
Boston University meet record.
Yeah, Boston University meet record and or the facility record.
It was both.
Yeah.
It was facility. That's why it was two things.
People don't know what facility means. Facility means it's the fastest run in that building. Because there's different kinds of meets held in the building. But within those 4 walls, that's the fastest it's been run. And there's other Canadians who have facility records there, which is kind of cool.
Let's maybe, because you touched on earlier, you said your years in school maybe weren't as good as you would have liked.
Yeah. So started at 6, really good, like, young kid career, which transitioned into a really good high school career. Up until like grade 12 is where things got a little like shaky. But then I was like, it's okay. Like, cause I signed my scholarship to Texas in grade 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what, like, Canadian, obviously going down NCAA is like the goal. Everyone dreams of it.
Yeah.
Was Texas the only place you wanted to go? What was that decision-making process like? Was it crazy? Parents involved? Different opinions? Tell me.
Yeah, so I actually just found one of my old diaries when I was younger, and in it says that I wanted to go to the University of Texas. Because the uncle I told you about earlier, him, his wife, and my cousin, they all lived in Austin and they worked there. And he would bring us home like swag from UT. And I was like, I want to go to Texas with Uncle Gabby and Auntie Amy and Zoe. And it's like in my diary, which is pretty cool.
Which
I didn't even remember. Because what I remember when I was being recruited, I was like, Texas, like, no, like, not interested. When they called, I didn't answer the first time. And then my high school coach was like, are you okay? Like, do you know who just called you? And I was like, ah, Texas. Like, I had these ideas that I thought of what I thought Texas would be like. Some of them are very true.
Yeah.
But Austin's a cool little bubble amongst some of the things that are very true.
I've heard. I was only in there for a couple days. It was an amazing city.
Yeah, it's fun.
I am so jealous. I wish I was a Longhorn also. Maybe partially because of Matthew McConaughey, but that's another reason. Have you read his book, Green Lights?
I haven't read his book.
Solid.
It's good.
Solid.
I recently started reading again, so you can just send me a book list.
So you can just join the Athletes Book Club.
Yeah.
Katie Simonson, who we just had on the show, the Hyrox lawyer.
Yeah.
She's starting it.
Cool.
She already runs a book club. She's doing one for the Athletes podcast.
Cool.
Once a month. We're going to get a new book. We're all just
I saw the one you guys are reading right now.
Yeah. Tribe,
okay.
The New Zealand team.
Yes, the All Blacks.
Thank you.
Super cool.
Second podcast today. 5 hours of sleep last night. Yeah. Training session. I apologize, folks.
Yeah.
Watching, listening. I'm going to be better. Marion's pulling it out of me. She's carrying the show. It was crazy, though, because that book, the highlight so far, at least, is just talking about how no one's too good to be in any position, and no one is too good to fill the shoes or the role of the person that's at the bottom of the organization. So no one's too good to clean up the garbage, i.e. Nice. Example, real life, New Zealand All Blacks, their captains are the ones cleaning up the garbage at the end of every game, every match.
Nice.
They come in, clean it up, they leave the place better than they found it. That's just like one example. I think that that's something that Canadians are known for to some degree as well. We're known as being good people. You get to travel around all around the world. What's been your favorite place to go to? Because I know sports brought you some crazy places.
I love racing in the Caribbean.
That would make sense.
The fans love track.
True.
They love track.
They do.
Like, so hype. When I was younger, we went to Gibson Relays in Jamaica, which is like a big relay meet down there. Usain Bolt was like doing his thing, and he came to the meet.
And what was that like?
Crazy. Like, crazy. And we would, like, go up to him, and, like, we were like, Mr. Bolt, like, do you mind, like, signing my autograph? And he's just like, yeah, man. He signed it for us. And we're like, oh, my gosh, like, he signed it. Like, maybe I'll go back. And I was like, well, Mr. Bolt, like, since you signed the first one, like, do you think you could sign this one for, like, my friend? And he was like, yeah, man. And he signed it. And we're like, that worked too. Like, Mr. Bolt, do you think you could sign this for, like, my friend's uncle's dad? Like, he just, whatever we asked, he was just like, yeah, and signed it.
Wow.
And then ran the 4x4 and, like, hawked everybody down in a 4x4, which I'd never seen him run that because obviously he's a 1-2 guy.
When was that?
How old was I?
That's probably one of the craziest stories I've heard.
Yeah, it was surreal. And he took a picture with our group.
You got to find that so we can click.
Yeah. It's on my Facebook.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. I've only had a couple chances to see the GOATs in their respective sports.
Yeah.
I missed out on watching Serena Williams in Toronto. I will never forget
that. I don't forgive myself for not seeing her play either.
Yeah. Maybe we'll figure out a way to watch her in some charity game together. We'll go.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I got that. I'll hold that down. LeBron, I got to see.
Sick.
Who else have you
I
seen?
I went to the game in Boston against the Lakers, and he pulled out like 5 minutes before the game started. And I was like, I just wanted to see you do that clap with the dust with the cloud thing.
It's crazy that that's what he's known for.
Yeah, I just wanted to see that at least. Like, do that and then decide not to play. But he was on the sidelines, and he was honestly still the presence. Like, he was in a sweatsuit with his hood up, and we're like, that's LeBron. And I just felt like he was, like you could just feel the presence, that he was still not pulling strings, not orchestrating, but, like, still, like, being a leader, like, from the sidelines in a hoodie and, like, sneakers.
we are witnessing greatness with what he does, and people unfortunately are accustomed to seeing it every single year for 20 years.
Yeah.
And they become numb to it.
What a career.
He's done, I just saw a stat, his first 10,000 points took him the exact same amount of time as his last 10,000, because he just hit 40K.
Yeah.
I think it was 328 games or something. So anyways, I say all these stats about this person. You're going to be setting all these records in a couple of years, even in Paris, for instance. Glasgow, highlights from that event specifically? And Saskatoon after that?
Yeah.
Was it Saskatoon?
I went to Saskatoon. Where did I go?
Like, you had a record there.
I went to Saskatoon before.
Glasgow. Start there.
Yeah, we'll go to Glasgow. Glasgow, highlight, $7.99.
Twice?
Yeah.
No big deal.
My first seven.
Shit.
Seven is like the magic number.
It's my favorite number.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Sick. Yeah.
It's the magic.
It's the magic number.
People think it's unlucky. I think it's the luckiest.
13 is my favorite number for the same reason.
Do you actively look for hotels that offer a 13th floor?
Yeah.
It only happens rare occasions.
Very rarely.
You got to pay extra for that. I don't know where I was going with that. Glasgow, Sarah Mitten crushed. You were obviously just missed hitting that finals appearance. Can you just tell me what it was like hitting 7.99 twice? We already talked about the fact that I can't do anything in under 8 seconds, but like, how did that feel to eclipse that, knowing you belong with them?
Yeah. So at the start of the season, coach was like, want to see some sevens this year. And I was like, LOL, like, me too, but how are we going to do that? And then I started my first meet of the season off, like, pretty much tying my personal best, which at the time starting the season was 8:13, and I ran 8:14 to, like, pop off the season. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay. I'm like, cool. And then I ran 8:01, like, a bunch of times, like, and everyone says, like, when you're really consistent, that's when something's going to drop. And I don't know if – I guess that's true. Sometimes I just think you make things up to stay positive. But I was, like, ran 8-1, like, a bunch of times now. And then by miracle got into the Boston Grand Prix and ran 8:06. And I was, like, okay, cool, like, closer to 7. And then went to Clemson, ran 8:16. 8:03, 8:01, and I was like, okay, yeah, we're right there. And then first round of World Indoors in Glasgow, 7.99. And I just knew that when I broke 8, I would run 7.99. I just knew it.
That was such an interesting point about making things up to seem positive.
Oh, we're delusional. I feel like you have to be.
You have to be.
Because, like, why? Like, how could you keep going without some delusion?
I've been doing this thing for 4.5 years. We're still kicking.
Yeah. Right?
Somehow. You know, thanks for people watching.
Thanks for having us.
People like yourself coming on, being willing to share their story, their wisdom, insights. Like, I think that there's beauty in that delusion. And I think you being told at 6 years old that you didn't even want to go to practice probably attribute and, like, is the reason or one of the many reasons that you are where you are.
Yeah, like, I wonder if I would have had such a great practice if she wasn't like, you're too young, girl, we're not going to take you. And then dad was just like, go for it, like, go do your thing. And it was a great, like, I remember it. It was a great practice.
Do you remember most of your practices?
There's, maybe. There's been so many.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I was just curious about that. You mentioned that one in particular.
I guess because it was literally the first one. Mm-hmm. And I just remember all the, like, sights and sounds of, like, walking into the building. It was the Oshawa Civic. Mm. And getting to the Oshawa Civic track is, like, kind of a trek. And, like, you can do it with your eyes closed if you've done it enough, because there's distinct, like, sounds between the way the doors move each section getting to the track. The smells are different. Like, you can literally smell when you're in the track. Mm.
We're going to have an Oshawa group chat pop off.
Yeah. All the Oshawa kids stand up.
Toronto's got, like, GTA. People love being able to say they're from the GTA.
Yeah. And we got athletes, man. I mean, most of our population's there. So, like, it makes sense. But, like, Ontario's got athletes, and like GTA specifically has athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sad I'm not in Toronto anymore.
BC is beautiful though.
Beauty, population, proximity to people. Once we get established enough, once I can afford to just fly you out to a private place in BC, we go work out for the weekend, do all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it'll be a perfect place. Right now, I got to be closer. It's easier for, like, I got to be in Miami. I got to be in Toronto, LA, like somewhere where there's lots of people close by coming in for sports.
Yeah.
So that I can do this, talk with you right after World Indoors, kind of like what we're doing right now.
Miami and LA are not the worst places to have to be, though. Like, oh no, he says, I have to go to LA. I have to be in Miami for the week.
I thought we were just trying to justify positive things. I thought that was what we were doing. I don't know. I think that, hey, if I get to follow along incredible athletes like yourself, talk with them on a weekly basis, that's a pretty good gig, if you ask me. I can do it thanks to people like Perfect Sports providing us with products, providing you with discounts if you use the code AP20, and then providing you guys stuff so that you can perform your best.
Everything helps.
Right?
Yeah.
That's okay. Student life as an athlete.
Yeah.
That is something that people don't talk about enough. Get raw about, like, it sucks, you have no money, you're grinding all the time. Like, you want to take me through some Texas times,
dude? Like, if I hear the word team meeting again, like, I might just like go into a panic. There's just always something to do. First of all, I had a good time. My friends were great. I made sure to choose a place that I felt like I could see myself truly living in for 4 years, because then if track doesn't go well, you still have to live there. I wish I could remember who gave me that advice, but that is my advice to anyone coming up now. Choose a place where you can see yourself living. If the city's not cool, choose a place where the team is just a vibe that you can see yourself hanging out with these people, like, because you're gonna see them all the time. And I don't know who or where I would be if I didn't have the teammates that I had. Because they're still my friends to this day, and they, like, kept me, like, sane.
Yeah.
Not all the way sane, because I lost my mind a bit in college. I lost it. She was gone for a bit.
What year?
It was, I laugh because, like, I was breaking the whole time, but, like, broke on the fourth year, which is just so silly, because, like, get help earlier, man.
Well, senioritis?
Yeah, and it's nostalgic because now you're like the grown one on the team and you're helping all the younger kids. But also you're like, my time is up and I didn't do what I wanted to do here. So it's just like so many like emotions. Mm. But I finally got some mental health help.
Okay. What was that like, if you don't mind?
Because the high school career was so great, that I thought I was going to be like someone like LeBron, where you go into college, you do one and done. Mm-hmm. Again, delusional, but everything was going as planned. We kind of had like a lot of family crises. Like, brother was in a very severe like car accident in grade 12, and that's kind of where it started, that I thought like, I'm fine, everything's fine. Everything's not fine. Like, it was not fine. Mm-hmm. You do your first year and you're just like trying to keep up. Friends were great, but like in your mind you're like, everything's fine. And you do that for a bit, and you're like, you know what? It's just my first year. Your first year is, you're adjusting to everything. It's okay that you're not running fast. That's how it's supposed to be, which is like true. It takes a while to adjust to a new like training system, a new environment. Trust the process, they say. Yeah. After the second year, you're like, you know what? Halfway through, like, that's how the first 2 years are supposed to be. And then by your third year, you start to panic a little bit. And you're like, shoulda, coulda, woulda, like, who am I? And I really had to do all that, like, who am I if track isn't going well, which is good.
Some may say essential.
It's essential. Mm-hmm. Would I have liked to do it for fun? Like, while I'm still running fast? Yes. I didn't want to have to run really slow and be really sad to have to find myself outside of sports. but it happened. And I think I'm like a cooler person to be around because of it.
One of the coolest, I'll clarify.
Thanks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know. Legit. I haven't had this much fun in a long time, I can say.
Oh,
that.
Man.
Yeah, no, this is good.
I'm really happy when I'm in Miami. I'm like a good vibe when I'm in Miami.
I told Evan this. I told Justin this morning. I'm like, I can't be mad at you.
No, literally, like I literally said, like nothing bothered. Like I'll be in traffic. I'm just like, it's the sun. It's really the sun.
It's
like
weird. The vitamin D is crazy. The Canadian dollar kind of sucks. I got to figure out a way to get us both paid more.
Yeah.
That we're working
the
on.
The dollar hurts.
The dollar hurts. That's tough. Anytime in the States, I'm just like, tack on 35%.
It's tough. But yeah.
We survive.
Yeah.
We make do. And everything happens for a reason.
Right? Yeah.
I think that's what I took from what you were saying there.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's going to be a time in your career where it's not going well. Mine happened to be college. Some people's are in their pro career. Some people's are when they were younger. They're late bloomers, whatever. Mine was in college. And then after college, statistically, would have made sense probably to retire. I was running like decent times, but nothing that said like, oh, you're ready to be world class like right now. But I just knew that being one of the best in the world was always the goal. And I just knew that even if I never became one of the best in the world, I just knew I had more to give. And I just wanted to like keep trying. I'm like, it's too early to stop now. So yeah, I went and did my master's in England for what was supposed to be a year, but was 6 months because of COVID. So that was like a fever dream of an experience. Yeah, take a pause there.
No, yeah, I'm just like, I got so many questions.
Yeah.
So that's your 22, 23 when you head to, you're done Texas, 24, what's the?
I graduated Texas in 2019.
Okay, so you were 21, 22.
Yeah, so I was there from 2015, 2019.
Yeah, same as me.
Yeah. Wasn't ready to go home yet because at the time I thought going home meant I failed. Mm. I left the small town, went to the big city to pursue the dreams. If I go home, you're a failure. So, which is not true.
I'm going through that right now, literally. Yeah. And I'm like, sorry, continue.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
It's not true. Like,
it's tough, eh?
Yeah.
That's the social norm. Society is like, yo, you got, once you move out, that's it.
Yeah.
See you later.
But honestly, so I'll finish that in a sec. So I went to go keep running on another scholarship in University of East London in England. Mm-hmm. Met a super cool coach over there, but we only got an indoor season together because the world shut down. So I took a flight, had to come home, finished my master's degree from like my basement.
Sucks to have that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
sorry for that.
The Olympics got canceled. Mm-hmm. Got to try skateboarding.
How? Just pick that up casually?
I mean, when you grow up in Oshawa, it's all around. But then when you're an athlete from 6 years old, you don't really get to do it. So I could ride from A to B, but I couldn't do any tricks. So now I have a couple tricks under my belt.
Ooh, okay.
The kickflip, not yet. That's what everybody asks. But
we need a live perfect sports sponsored event where you are teaching me how to kickflip, hurdle, and I don't know, run the 100 under 10 seconds.
Yeah, I would want nothing more. And I would take that job so seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
You bet your ass I'm going to be the best kickflipper. Skateboard. Okay, cool. Was that just with the like family?
Yeah, just with the homies, like just the people I grew up with.
That's sick.
Yeah, like everyone from elementary school at my school is like still friends to this day. We went to a super small elementary school. So we're just like this little, like, no one understands us but us. So we're all still friends, like, as adults. And we like banded together and like started skateboarding. And they were all much better than me because they've been doing it since they were kids. Mm-hmm. But skateboarders are very positive energy.
Yeah.
And you do anything and they're like, yeah. So it's very easy to keep showing up.
That is so sick. The ninth best hurdler in the world was struggling skateboarding in Oshawa.
Yeah.
Like, that is such a cool story to be able to share.
Yeah. Now.
And like, you're probably going to just pick this. You're going to pick so much stuff up. I feel like you could do everything. What other sports did you play growing up?
I played rep soccer for a couple years.
Yeah. Of course
you did. And then in school, I played, like high school, I played volleyball, basketball, and track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Told you guys. Sorry. Okay, so London, basement, master's degree, ideal experience there.
Yeah.
Where, what's going through your mind there? You said statistically you should retire.
Yeah.
Clearly the little engine that could kept on chewing.
Right. But now I'm home. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep running, but COVID has sent me home. I thought when I got to London, then I was like, okay, Austin didn't work out to be the fastest person in the whole wide world to ever exist. Maybe I'll go to London and be the fastest person to ever exist. And everything's going to be fine. And then I find myself in my basement, like back home. And I'm just like, if I stay here, that means I failed. Like I couldn't get it done. And then I just realized home is where I became who I am. Mm. So I can build myself back up here too. Like you lost yourself for a little bit. You had to learn who you were besides outside of sports. Like you got the degree. So if you don't keep running, like you've got something to fall back on. The window for sports is so small. Keep going. You know how to run fast here in Canada. You've done it before. You know the tracks. You have, luckily, the support from your family. You can get it done. And I hit up a coach who was retired and someone I like shake a little bit because it's like it's really nice to have people like believe in you still. And he's like, yeah, like let's do it. Let's get it done.
So you were able to pull him out of retirement.
Yeah.
For well, you.
He was volunteering. Well, not maybe volunteering at the time. I'm not sure. But he was working with my old high school club, okay. The Speed Academy Athletics. Shout out to Speed Academy. And yeah, he was helping the high school kids there, but he was done coaching at like the elite level. But I called my high school coach to work with him again because mm-hmm. I was like, he got you the scholarship. Yeah. He can help you in the pro life too. And he was like, actually, he's like, he's here now. Like, why don't you try working with him? He's like, I don't do elite athletes. I want to stick with the high school kids. Why don't you keep working with him? And I was like, all right. And he coached. His name's Anthony McCleary. Anthony coached Priscilla Lopesleep, one of the hurdlers I grew up like obsessed with. Mm-hmm. So I was like, he knows what he's doing. And all the other girls, Nikita, Felicia, all of them. So I was like, yeah.
Damn.
I found myself in good hands, and it's everything to find somebody who believes in you.
You know who else believes in you? Danielle.
Yeah.
She's the reason we're here having this conversation.
Yeah.
Right? From, I can't remember what episode she was. I should know that. Anyway, we were in Toronto.
Yeah.
You should go up. Danielle Chow Leong. Check out that episode. Incredible.
She's great.
She's the GOAT. She's yeah. one of the best.
Yeah.
And like, also, I feel like you two just have such cool, calm, consistent, collected charisma. I say that because like, you got so much swagger. You don't have to be, you're just so humble. You guys can do anything. And you're like, yeah, we're just like going with the flow. So most athletes, people in her positions are uptight or like very specific about the way they operate. Most athletes typically as well. You guys both are just like
pretty chill. I mean, maybe because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Maybe. I don't know how long. We were just talking about it in Glasgow, but has she been she's been working with the national team, like traveling with the national team for like over a decade. Mm-hmm. So like you'd be like, Danielle, like how does such and such work? She's like, well, when I went with the team to this games at this time, it was like that. Like she's been to every games like ever. And I realized this year, I'm like, you've been doing this for 20 years. That's a long time and you're only 26, yeah?
Like that's, you know, 4/5 of our life.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, I think I, and especially now that I'm finding my, like, groove again, everything's chill.
Working with a coach like that, where you're able to pull him out of retirement, what's that, like, you got to be convincing as heck, I'm sure. And you've obviously won over Danielle. Was it your parents that instilled this kind of do whatever it takes, can do anything attitude?
Yeah, they definitely made me, they definitely helped me believe that I could do anything I wanted. Like, there wasn't a dream that they ever shut down, which was cool. So my brain could run kind of wild. My mom was really good at, like, teaching us how to be, like, good humans and, like, really humble along the way with whatever we did. And my dad was really good at being, like, the crazy athlete where he knows what it takes and, like, how much discipline it takes. So, yeah, it was a good combo.
Any crazy dad stories you're willing to share on the show?
Crazy dad stories.
Christian Dyer brought up one. He's like, his dad dumped like a huge bucket of water and ice right on his bed one weekend. I don't know if you got any.
He's fun. Like, wake up, son.
Yeah, yeah, military man.
Time to go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so crazy dad story. I don't remember what Olympic Games, maybe 2008, don't quote me on the year, but I was very young, back on the farm again, saw Perdita Feliciane, like, do her thing, loved her. And my dad's a teacher at the elementary school, like, near the house, and they had all this stuff for Team Canada athletes. Like, they had all these, like, billboards and, like, posters for them when they were, like, promoting the games to get the kids hype. I wasn't even old enough to attend the school, so I didn't see any of this stuff. And after the games, they threw everything out. And then he just comes home with this cardboard cutout that was like the size of me, of Perdita. And I was like, yo, like, where did you get that? And he's like, I dove into the green bin, like, dumpster at my school and brought this home for you. He's like, why would they throw this out? And I was like, I couldn't imagine why they would ever do that. And it's still in my room, like, my childhood room to this day. And somewhere along the line, Perdita signed it.
Whoa.
Yeah, she came to speak at a school my dad was teaching at, like, years later. And he was like, dude, you got to come with me to school today. Like, Perdita's going to be there. Like, bring the poster.
That is a story.
Yeah. And she signed it for me. And I was in high school. And I was, like, trying to be, like, kind of cool. Yeah. Like, it's no big deal if you sign this. But I'm like, no, this is everything if you sign this. And so then every once in a while, he just sends me a picture of it as if I've forgotten that it's there.
Dads are different.
Dads are so different. They do things that make no sense. He just, like, sends me a picture of it periodically.
At least it's just not mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll chat about.
Yeah.
We can vent about dads. It's a whole other topic. I feel like there's probably others that have the same experience randomly out of nowhere. You get a text.
You're just like, a random text. No context. No context. I'm just like, it's 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. Like, why did you? But I just know it's because he's at home hype.
Mm-hmm.
He's thinking hype. About you. He's thinking about me.
Yeah.
And, like, if anyone wants it as bad as I do, it's that guy.
Mm. Do you, what kept you from not retiring? Like, if you don't mind me asking, like, obviously you had the mental stuff that you talked about, but, like, there's got to be that little internal switch or, like, internal dialogue, something that you were just like, hey, I need this. I want this. Was there ever that doubt that crept in?
The doubt creeps in, but I didn't want to retire until I became an Olympian. And I just knew that I had more to give.
Yeah. So sick.
And even if I didn't become an Olympian, I just knew I had more to give. I figured, like, if you were to retire right now, would you have any regret? And I would have.
Yeah. And
I felt washed, but really? There was, like, one part of me that was like, you're not washed up yet.
That's
like, just like a one. And it only takes that little part, I guess.
You just need a sliver.
Of delusion.
You just need. And it's as little as having a poster in your bedroom or a cardboard cutout to look at every day.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And we're pretty drama. So, like, that sort of thing, if he sends, like, it's like, sometimes that shit, like, will make me cry. And I'm just like, keep going. Other crazy dad stories. I remember I used to go for jogs with him on, like, a Sunday. I only trained 3 days a week with my club at the time, but he would take me out on, like, an extra day. And I remember going for a run, and he's, like, on his bike behind me, like, go, 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 go. And we ran past the group of kids. And I was so embarrassed at the time. Ran past the group of kids that I then grew up to finally get to, like, skateboard with. Like, they were all skateboarding and, like, doing cool stuff. And I'm, like, out going for a run. And I'm like, this is lame. But then years later, they're, like, teaching me how to, like, pop shove it and, like, go down a quarter pipe.
And you're still
And I'm competing. Still running. Yeah.
And you're still competing. Yeah. And you're still crushing it.
Thank you.
And it's only going up from here, right? Like,
yeah.
That's the crazy part.
It feels like I'm just starting like all over again.
And I am so grateful that I've been able to chat with you for the past 45 minutes, whatever it's been, because that message on its own is worth it and like might be how we start this, because I, as an athlete and many others at 15, 16, 17, went through that exact same. I should have retired, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you're 16 years old or you're 18 years old. You're not even close to reaching what your maximal athletic abilities are. So all that being said, I think people should look at you as a prime example of someone who even at 22 was, do I look at this and turned around? Like, it is never too late. And I see people like, in their 50s trying to play NCAA football right now. And that is happening.
Yeah.
And people need to realize that if you are in your late teens or early 20s, you could still become an Olympian. Like that
you
is,
literally can. Like,
obviously you had a lot of freaking crazy talent, so I don't want to like overshadow what you had before.
True.
But like you said it yourself, you should have retired statistically.
Yeah.
That is something that people should realize, that like when you are at the best and you're going through that, you need someone to remind you sometimes that you are the one of the best in the world.
Yeah. You need to believe it first, I think. I think that helps, because if you meet people along the way who don't believe in you, you got to be able to like keep going. Find your group of people that believe in you and just like keep going.
Hold them close.
Yeah, hold them close.
And if people are telling you that you can't, you're on to something.
Yeah.
Because they're nervous. Because heaven forbid you do something they could.
Yeah. And I just remember being young and just being like, yeah, I'm going to the Olympics. Like it was calm. Like it was just like, what do you want to be when you grow up? I'm like, I'm going to go to the Olympics. And it was like when people were like, you're going to Texas. Like, do you ever think about getting an NCAA scholarship? I'm like, of course. I'm like, part of the plan.
Yeah.
What wasn't part of the plan is not doing well in those 4 years. But yeah, you just keep that little sliver.
That's okay.
And it makes the story cool. Yeah. Like the story would have been kind of boring if everything just went according to plan.
Yeah, we all are looking for good stories here on the Athletes Podcast.
We love a comeback.
Yeah, and you wouldn't, if you just showed up, crushed Canada, won 3 gold medals at 14 years old in the first Canadian championships, no big deal, and had crushed at high school and had crushed at uni, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Mariam Abdul-Rashid, frig. Yeah, I know. She's been crushing since she was 6 years old.
Yeah, superstar, but completely unrelatable with, like, nothing. Yeah.
You got a cool story.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the show. I always like to give people the opportunity to, like, highlight whether it's things that they're doing, unique things about your training. I tape my mouth at night.
Do
you mouth tape at night?
Someone taught me that in college. I swear the first time I ever did it, I had the best night's sleep ever.
If you're listening right now and you don't tape your mouth at night, you're missing out.
Yeah.
It's a thing. It's the best sleep guaranteed.
Yeah.
So you've done it ever since.
I've forgotten about it, but recently remembered.
Okay.
And I think I saw you got the special tape.
VO2 tape. They're an Austin-based company. I'm going to introduce you. They will send you product.
100%, yeah.
And I can't believe I didn't do that already. But you got to just be on me about this stuff.
I know. I saw you have it and I was like, I think I just got out. Like, you actually reminded me that that's a thing that's like good.
Mm-hmm.
I got out like Christmas wrap, box wrapped, like the clear stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just like, but yeah, maybe I'll get some good stuff.
Sometimes people listen to the things that we say on the show and they put them into action. Yeah. Now we have a clip of some actually doing it. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
It's going amazing. VO2 tape, what else do you do? Like cold therapy, sauna, any fun stuff like that?
Yeah, so I like a cold tub. You said fun stuff, not fun, but feel better after.
Do you do it after workouts? Like, what's the regime? Like, how are you incorporating it?
I like it best like before a race.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, like the night before a race.
Nice. Okay.
Sometimes you get super sore like during training blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to, but then it helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, before a race, I like.
Love that. Yeah. It's crazy how much it helps, like both physically and mentally.
Yeah.
I was discussing it beforehand. I'm like, I would argue it's probably just as beneficial mentally, if not more, than it is physically.
Yes. Because you did a hard thing, and then like all the science behind like what's happening in your like body, you feel really good mentally. Like once you stop like shivering, once you get past it, super initial like shivering when you get in and when you get out, you feel very relaxed.
It was the only time where I was okay doing a little bit of shivering after was like Turks and Caicos water. Incredible, nice, warm. You come out after, you're like, it's only a second.
It's only just a second.
You just mentioned the Caribbeans. I had to mention Turks.
Yeah, it's never been there.
Oh, we'll go. We'll get you an event there. We're going to host something there.
Yeah, let's just pull up.
What should we call it? Maybe some type of perfect sports.
Yeah.
Well, we'll make a meet in Turks.
Call it whatever you want. If it's there, I'll be there.
Okay, done. We'll get Bolt over there too. We'll be like, hey, do you mind signing something?
I think he'd pull up too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We can make it happen.
Yeah.
We got enough people
connected. He's chilling now. He's retired.
6 degrees of connection.
One of them should work.
Yeah, right?
For something.
A couple strings. Who would, if you could put a meet together or put the ideal athlete together from like inspirations or people you've watched over the years, is there like events that you would love to be able to try or that you wish like you had a Bolt speed or like, you know, those ones that you've able to dream of? Like,
I am trying with no luck to start my long jump career.
Oh,
yeah.
See, this is why I ask these questions.
Yeah.
I love it.
When I was really young, I used to do it.
Okay.
And everyone's like, you were young. And I was like, I'm delusional. I still want a long jump. It just looks long jump in the field events in general. It's like such a performance. And I think that's so cool. Mm. Like, if they would put the whole thing on TV from start to finish, there's so much drama.
We could do a whole podcast on this.
Yeah.
And I want to like do it in the most respectful way because it's like, but it's abysmal coverage. It's like this in a couple other sports. We need to figure out a way to fix it.
People don't know what I like do.
It's such a shame.
Like at all. Yeah.
And some of the best athletes in the world, arguably the best athletes in the world, and they're getting zero coverage.
Dude.
Because of time change and like, what is that? Why is that an excuse?
I've been at the mall with like world record holders and people are like, you look fit. It's like, thanks, dude. I'm literally the best to ever do something. And you just look like a fitness person.
That's what we're trying to change. That's what Cook Stark management, Lander, and I are trying to do. Like, with I'm at least in the female athlete, us guys have had enough attention. Okay,
we can
all agree on that.
Yeah,
what women are doing right now, the momentum of female sports is insane.
Yeah,
we still are only scratching the surface of what's being invested into women's sports, especially track and field as a sport. It's just like, I now, having kind of like seen what it's like and trying to watch your stuff, I'm like,
dude, it's hard. It's literally so bad.
I'm like, people, why am I signing up for like three different accounts
and like maybe you'll still find it. If I really was in the long jump, you'd sign up for those accounts and then not see me jump. Like, unless you're literally fighting for a medal, you don't get on the screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, thanks. Like, made it all the way here and the parents can't watch from home.
I think that there's got to be more people like yourself who are willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like mental health. A decade ago, people didn't talk about it.
Fair.
It's a conversation now that we're able to have.
Yeah.
Put out on the internet. People are talking about it, right? I think, like, for me, at least, my thought is, I'm going to bring up some uncomfortable things at times on this show. I might not be liked by everyone, but if you're at least trying to make forward progress, help out people in a positive fashion, might piss off a couple, but in the grand scheme of things, you're trying to do good.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And you, as an athlete, Joe Schmo as a long jumper, insert anyone else, deserves that attention when you've put in your life's work.
Like, literally your whole life. Like, literally. And yeah, like, someone retweeted a jumper, of course, because we in our own sport, like, no. He was like, we've shown more of the, we now have what they have in figure skating, like the, where they like wait to see their scores. Track just incorporated that, which is very, it's cool. It's like more drama. So you sit in the room and you wait to see if you made the final. But then they were showing more of that little room than they were of the people on the runway.
Yeah, because it's dramatic.
I guess so, but so is the story happening in the long jump.
Come on, Miriam, it's for the views.
Like, someone would like to view their their daughter jump into the sand.
Trust me, it's. I'm like, I think it's. We're gonna make it happen. You're gonna get so much exposure, but not only you, the next generation of athletes, right?
Yeah, like,
that's our goal here.
Yeah,
we're trying to inspire. We're trying to educate, and
I do feel like. Before we kind of used to scream in like our own little like circles, but yeah, now people like yourself, you were like getting on podcasts, and like people are just starting to get fed up that people are talking about it.
It's like
nutrition. Loud and not nicely either. Like people are like, I'm pissed.
Yeah,
yeah,
as they should be.
As they should be,
right?
Especially when so much of sports now is the marketing.
It's everything.
It's
as crappy as it sounds. You could be the best athlete in the world. If you don't know how to make an Instagram or a TikTok reel, you're not going to be compensated for your work.
Yeah. And on the one hand, it's nice that there's another way to make it. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't have the stats, if you don't go to the big school, you can make your YouTube video. Like there's another way, which is cool. But then it becomes more important than the top ranked. And when you're trying to be the absolute best at something... I don't have the time or the energy to edit a YouTube video. I'm tired and I'm trying to reduce my screen time.
And it's a chicken before the egg thing too.
Because
now you're like, okay, I know I need to make content. I need to create showing off the products that I'm using in my daily life.
Yeah.
But I'm not an influencer. I'm an athlete. So, okay, I go about my regular normal work schedule, go being an athlete, training, trying to eat properly, that costs more money.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I have to try and incorporate hiring an editor, filming all of this to send to the editor. Oh yeah, that editor is going to cost $500 to $1,000 bucks a month. I'm already in a sport that doesn't pay me anything. I'm already having to lobby people to give me money.
Like, yeah.
Oh, so now you're going to make me go sell more. Like
all to hope that you then get the views to...
Right? And this all this being said, like... You do this. So this is why, like, you grind. You put out crazy good content. And that's why, like, it was so easy when Danielle's like, yo, you need to talk with this gal. I was like, whatever Miriam wants, we're giving her, right? Like, and seriously.
It's nice to you.
It's, that's why, like, I think it's important for people to realize how much work you put in. That's why I wanted to, it was a priority to get you on the pod today. I think we put out a pretty good banger. It was a pretty good episode.
I think so. I had fun.
Yeah. That's what's important. As long as you're happy, I'm happy. The internet will do the rest of its good work. Any last words? We usually wrap up by asking our biggest piece of advice for the next generation of athletes. You've dropped like 24 karat gold gems here. You got anything else you want to leave the audience with?
Your dreams are not too big. Find your circle. Consistency and discipline is everything.
Do you want to do the Chris Rock mic drop?